This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And it's me, lucky number three, Zach Valenti, at your service.
And today we are actually joined virtually and remotely at the remote Bad Ideas headquarters by a very, very special guest star. We've actually had the honor and privilege of having him on in a previous episode of No Bad Ideas. We've now conned him into coming back and giving us more of his comedic verb and brilliance. One of our favorite multitudes, the powerhouse behind shows like Horse and the brand new Next Stop, is Mr. Eric Silver.
Woo! Hello, it's me!
So lovely to have you back, man.
So nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. How have you been, Eric?
Well, obviously, I've been developing the video game that we came up with last time.
Good.
The Drowned Man VR game that I think that had multiple like levels depending on what your moral compass was. But since then, I now run four active podcasts.
How do you do it? How are you alive while doing that?
It's more like if I stop moving, then everything gets very bad. So I just keep doing the move thing.
And you actually just launched a brand new show, didn't you?
That's true. It is called Next Stop. It is an audio sitcom. I wrote all of the episodes. I am really stoked about it. I think it's a nice piece of levity and fun in the weirdness that we're having. And it's like a straightforward slice of life sitcom. I know this might surprise the three of you, but this is not set in space.
Whoa, wait. You can do that?
What's not space?
Yeah, I don't know. Did anyone not tell you?
Oh, but which one is the alien, though?
There are no aliens. There's none.
What? I'm confused.
Crazy.
Did no one tell you you can... I like the idea. They're like, you all had a creative writing professor at Wesleyan who's just like, hey, all of your stories need to be in space.
They just wrote space on the blackboard and underlined it three times. And we
just got sorted into the space house. Some people got sorted into the horror house. Some people got sorted into fantasy house, but we were in space house.
Oh, man.
Well, we could talk about Next Stop for a little while because it is a wonderful show. And we're actually going to do that on our Thursday episode. But before we can get to those vegetables, we have some chocolate that we need to eat first. Because we here at No Bad Ideas, we specialize in coming up with at least the beginnings of good stories out of the worst ideas that humanity has ever had. Every week, we bring in two ideas. None of our other hosts or our guests have seen those ideas before. They are always just some of the strangest, most ill-conceived things that humanity has come up with. And then we give ourselves, when we have our guests, we give ourselves 10 minutes to come up with good stories out of those bad ideas. And I believe that today's first idea is coming from our very own Mr. Zach Valenti.
It not only is, but it is important that everybody put on their seatbelt because this one's a wild ride, everybody.
Oh, mine has like roller coaster seatbelt, so it's coming down to the...
That is
good. Now I can't move.
The safety harness.
Very important because
there's a 16-year-old who's jiggling it and be like, no, it's probably fine.
Is there a minimum height requirement for this idea, Zach? Like, do you need to be this tall to?
Yes. And also, I hope you haven't been drinking.
Oh, boy.
Because
you must be this open-minded to ride the ride.
The man allegedly teaching his dog to drive was arrested after leading troopers on a high-speed chase.
No!
From CNN.com. No! Link in the description for anybody who wants to see the literal car wreck of this idea.
Whoa!
Oh, no!
A man
Is
was
the dog okay?
we'll find out.
Oh my God.
Spoilers, I think so. I think so.
Okay, good, good, good.
And is also a very good dog.
Yes. Yes.
A man was arrested Sunday after leading troopers on a high-speed chase with his dog sitting in the driver's seat, a spokeswoman for the Washington State Patrol said. The man, from Lakewood, Washington, hit two cars on separate occasions and failed to stop both times, leading state troopers on a high-speed chase up Interstate 5, the spokeswoman said.
Honestly, if the dog was driving, only two hit cars, not bad.
Yeah. No major injuries were reported in either crash. That's right. I mean, for a dog.
Yeah, no, like, good dog.
Pretty good.
Now, what about all of the cats that were hit? Was that reported upon?
quote, he was driving very erratically, so erratically that multiple people called 911, Trooper Heather Axtman told CNN. The suspect was driving, quote, absolutely recklessly, and a pursuit ensued at 109 miles an hour, she said. One of the troopers attempted to corner the suspect's car, looked inside, and realized a pit bull was sitting in the driver's seat while the suspect steered, Axtman said.
Presumably from the co-pilot seat?
Presumably. Oh, if not with the dog in the lap in that sort of I'm teaching my child how to drive way. But I think he was in the other seat with an open alcohol container. But we'll find out. as he was trying to evade troopers, the suspect drove onto Centennial Trail, a trail for pedestrians and bicyclists in Sonomish County, known for being busy, according to Axtman. The fact that there wasn't anybody.
This is one of our really busy parks. This isn't like one of those shitty ones over there.
We just want you to understand that this part of Washington isn't all a field.
quote, the fact that there wasn't anybody on the trail is nothing shy of miraculous, Axtman said. We are very thankful, as are we all. Eventually,
it sounds like spokesman Axtman is in the pocket of big hiking trail. And I don't appreciate that.
Eventually,
this is corruption everywhere.
Dude, Washington State, y'all. What else they got going on?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Hence, teaching your dog to drive. Eventually, troopers were able to use spike strips to end the pursuit.
My God.
During the arrest, Axtman said the suspect gave them one explanation. He was, quote, trying to teach his dog to drive. Quote, I wish I could make this up, Axtman, who is also a public information officer, said, quote, I've been a trooper for almost 12 years, and wow, I have never heard this excuse. I've been in a lot of high-speed chases, I've stopped a lot of cars, and I've never gotten an excuse that they were teaching their dog how to drive. The Washington State Patrol charged the man with reckless endangerment, hit and run, driving under the influence, and felony eluding. His bond was set at $8,500, and he is set to appear in court March 30th. As for the dog, Axtman said, the quote, very sweet girl was taken to the animal shelter, and her owner was arrested.
Oh, do we all want to just go around really quickly as a warm-up and do a last line of this article?
You can do that and much more in the 10 minutes on the clock.
And wait a minute, Zach, the article never mentions why this individual wanted, like, the reasoning that led to I need my dog to know how to drive.
I certainly didn't hear that.
There was not a because. I think it's one of those self-explanatory.
Right. Like, in the guy's mind, why would you need more information?
It's a recursive answer.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the reporter's Twitter feed who had a cut line from the end of the article.
Yeah.
It said, spokesman Axtman said that the biggest problem was that the dog did not know how to read the traffic signs because, as everyone knows, dogs can't see color.
Oh,
brilliant.
Oh, sorry. There's another tweet coming up. I'm just refreshing it. Yeah. spokesman Axtman said that there was a child. There was a charge that was dropped, but because the dog was going K9 T miles over the speed limit.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That was a rough one, Eric.
Yeah.
Listen, they're not all women. You can edit podcasts, right?
Sarah, when you say a rough one, do you mean a barking sound?
I think you're pointing your nose in the right direction there, Zach.
Am I barking up the right tree? Sorry, I'll leave.
Listen, I just need all of your listeners to go, bow, wow, wow, what a good guest.
It's very, very fortunate that it was a dog driving, because, you know, if there had been an accident, all dogs do go to heaven.
That's right. Yes.
Well, with the 8 minutes and 10 seconds you have left.
Not just like the natural evolution of the Fast and Furious movies, is that Vin Diesel gets turned into a dog?
I was gonna say, like, you know those memes that are like, picture any movie and replace all of the people in it except for one actor into Muppets, which movie and which actor, you know, stays as the human? I think that, like, this is a great opportunity to do, like, it's Baby Driver and everyone is the same except for the main character is now played by like a Muppet dog, and the rest of the movie is exactly the same except that now it's a very, very skilled, you know, Muppet pit bull doing all the driving.
Gabrielle, I don't appreciate that you're copying directly from Air Bud : Baby Driver.
Damn it. Caught in the act once again.
This is supposed to be a free flowing of ideas, but you're just blatantly ripping off my favorite movie.
I know. What can I say? It was on last night. I couldn't help myself.
Sometimes these things just like knock around in your head.
I do like the idea that of just casting everyone in the Fast and Furious franchise as dogs now, which is, I'm going to be speaking, but just know that my brain is going to be doing that. I'm going to be tuned out from the conversation, but I'm just like, you know what? Vin Diesel would be a great pit bull.
Yeah.
All right. I diverged so hard from the, like, I diverged so hard from this, but my real question is, I want this to be a true crime documentary series because I have so many questions. Like, we're not even going to do a joke. It's just like, I need one episode. Like, this was like American Vandal. I need one episode focused on how that car got up to 109 miles per hour with a bulldog sitting in the front seat.
That's right. Can so like bulldog hind legs even apply enough pressure scientifically to like accelerate the car that fast?
Exactly. Right.
Or was there like, they put a brick on the accelerator and just had the car constantly accelerating? Or like, what is going on here?
Right. And that's why I need forensics to get in there and explain it back to me.
Okay. So we're doing, you know, like the new spinoff from Serial, that is, you know, Sarah Koenig tries to figure out the story of the one dog that never could catch the car because the dog was in the car.
That would be perfect, because then Sarah Koenig can actually get really involved in the case because she thinks he's such a good boy.
Right. And they, of course, like, have to find another dog to help them recreate the incident.
Right.
Right. They're doing sort of like all of these different attempts to kind of, you know, sort of like see what was possible and like what could have happened.
This has to be a cat person, this host.
Totally.
I need episode 5 to really go in on the dog's owner, because this is when we get like the sympathetic or like the humanizing of the criminal. So it's like, yeah, man, Dave was so wild. He just whenever he would get drunk, he would just do wild shit with dogs. But like, the dog was always having fun. That was just Dave's thing. Like, I remember in college one time we were doing shots that he invited a golden retriever to play beer pong with us. And it was epic. It's the thing I remember the most about Dave.
But then at the end of the episode, like the last 5 minutes are all about kind of like the one time that it went too far. And all of a sudden you're back at like, oh no, this guy is kind of sinister. Even if he is kind of a lovable dog person too. Oh no.
And then Dave's mom comes in and she's like, oh, I shouldn't have given away Dave's dog. I think he's just still working through it. And we're like, oh no, he has trauma.
There it is. Right. We found it. Yeah. We found the trauma.
Guys, it was trauma that made him want to teach a dog to drive.
But you know, like, ever since his dad died in that car crash, you know, there just wasn't enough people to take care of the dog. So, you know, we had to give it away.
I should have known when Dave wanted to name the dog after his dead dad. I should have seen this one coming. I need a whole episode also of of a history of dogs driving. Like, or like,
oh yeah, there needs to be like some wild archive footage of like dogs behind the wheel of a tank in World War One, and like dogs on sort of like an outlaw racing circuit in the backwoods of North Carolina in like the 1920s. I want all the weird instances of dogs driving.
Fido H. Ford was the very first dog to ever sit in a car.
And just to be clear, is this a real crime podcast or kind of like a Tiger King style, like visual series?
I think it could. Well, we can decide either one. I think if it's a podcast, this is like the brainy part. Uh-huh. But I think if it's Tiger King, it's more just like about the fantastical.
Right. It's the more sensational cut of it.
Like, are we doing Dirty John or are we doing Serial?
Right.
Or Dirty John : dog driving. Did you see that there's like that Dirty John story with Amanda Peet in it now and Christian Slater? And it's just Dirty John : and then the name of the title. I'm like, Dirty John isn't an anthology title. It's very confusing.
Yep.
Oh, Amanda Peet.
This is such a heightened and ridiculous story already that I want to give it the like serious treatment. So I think that like it should be kind of like more in the Serial bent then.
And the thing about Tiger King is that like, it would need to sort of expand outward, I feel, to like talk about dog racing and dogs being driving cars like in America.
Uh-huh.
So if we're just sticking with this one case, I'm down for the true crime podcast.
Right. Versus the like underground dog racing rings.
Well, that's the Fast and Furious 9 Fast Canine.
Fast Canine.
Listen, Fast 9 is delayed now, so they can totally retool it and make it about dogs.
Also, it occurs to me why he never stopped, because from the passenger seat, it's much easier to reach the accelerator than the brake.
Right.
Yeah, no, like the only thing that you can really do is crank the handbrake if it's the right kind of car.
Right. Which is, well, as we know drifting. From the Fast and the Furious movies, the best for drifting and for doing that turnaround.
The Fast and the Furious!
Oh, no. We got there!
Amazing. In the last
minute
that we have, how does it end?
Oh my God.
Well, I wanted to build off of what Sarah was saying, was like, there needs to be like this is like either Limetown or like Men Who Stare at Goats. Like one of those things where it's like the FBI have been training dogs to drive for a long time.
Uh-huh.
It was like decommissioned. I don't know. I think the final episode of all of these series, Serial and like American Vandal does a good job of that. But what's the one with like the guy, the Making of a Murderer? All of the ending was like the trial happens and it's like, well, hey, remember how bad the American justice system is?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, then this guy, like his rich uncle gives him $10,000. He gets out and then he goes on probation. Like, it always needs to be incredibly anticlimactic. And everyone's just like, well, we tried.
Yeah, people can do what they want.
Alternatively, it can end with sort of the host going to that place of, when I first started investigating this, I thought that it was just a story about a crazy guy. But now that I've spent so much time here, it's kind of making sense. Like, I'm starting to see the logic in it. And it just kind of like ends with them like calling their dog and being like, come here, boy. Sound of a car door opening, sound of a car door closing, sound of the engine turning on, cut to credits. It's just for this, like, my God, like, did this guy sort of like go in the same direction as the original car driver or dog driver owner that he was profiling?
There's a disclaimer at the end now that it's like Serial Studios hasn't seen Sarah Koenig or her Shiba Inu in weeks.
Right.
Amazing.
If you have any information, please call this number.
I love what you guys have done with this. Unfortunately, that is the end of that 10 minutes.
Oh,
I'm sorry we didn't do anything other than be like, hey, can we investigate this story?
I mean, it's one of those ideas that is so bad, it kind of writes itself.
That's
right.
Oh,
my God.
Sometimes you just need to be kind of like in awe of the badness. There's not much else to do.
For sure.
Well, we're going to go be in a little bit more awe of this badness, but we're going to be right back with our special guest, Eric, and another bad idea.
All right, guys, Zach Valenti here, breaking into the show for just a moment because I want to tell you all about Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History. It's an anthology fiction podcast made by historic royal palaces and Rusty Quill, bringing you stories from famous chapters in the history books, but from a completely different perspective, one you've never heard before. If you tune in to their two full seasons of stories, you'll hear the story of one of London's first firefighters and the day he went up against a fire that would bring down the home of a king. Or hear the story of the Tower of London's head executioner on the day he discovers just how bad his job can be. And that's just two of the 20 full stories that are available for you to binge right now. So make sure you look for Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History, wherever quality podcasts are found. Or you can also visit them online at rustyquill.com/outliers. Okay, now back to more No Bad Ideas.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're here with Mr. Eric Silver, our favorite multitude.
That's me. Fuck you, Mike Schubert.
The competitive spirit has finally kicked in. This is great.
Damn, I went really hard on that. I wasn't prepared for that to come out of my body.
Well, now you've said it. It is immortalized in podcast form forever. Don't worry, Mike. We all love you. We all think you're great. But we're not here to talk about the amazingness of Mike Schubert. We are here to turn bad ideas into good stories. And I have a truly bizarre but kind of amazing thing that somebody did for all of you to consider.
Excellent.
Are you ready to dive into our second bad idea?
Yes, sir.
As ready as I will ever be.
Okay, well, coming from our friends at Sky News, and dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there are links to the ideas in the episode description. The headline reads, Toto's Africa to play on loop for all eternity in Namib Desert, thanks to artist's creation.
Oh yes. My God.
Somewhere, tell me Megan Fitzmartin is smiling and she has no idea why.
All right, let's dive in. Namibian German artist Max Seidentoff is behind the installation in the Namib Desert, which consists of six speakers attached to an MP3 featuring Africa and Africa only.
Wow.
Christ.
The multi-platinum selling rock classic released in 1982 has enjoyed something of a resurgence in the digital era, becoming one of the most streamed songs of 2017 with just under 18 million plays in the UK. In a post entitled Toto Forever on his website, Mr. Seidentoff says he is paying tribute to, quote, probably the most popular song of the last four decades, Toto's Africa. The creation runs on solar batteries.
That was my question.
To keep Toto going for all eternity.
That was all I wanted to know. Is it off grid? And it is. Oh my God.
Yep. No, it's a closed loop. As long as there is a sun in the Namib Desert,
holy
this is
going
to keep going forever.
High five to this artist.
I will say, Zach does ask that every single episode. Hey, is this off grid? I just need to know.
Certain things happen to you when you live in a basement.
Yes. It is not the first time Africa has been played on loop. In September, a music venue in Bristol played the song for 12 hours straight to raise funds for charity.
Okay.
It came after a Burger King in Camden, north of London, promised to play the track, quote, all day, following a strange Twitter campaign. And for those of you who can't get to Namibia just yet, you can relieve the magic by clicking on, and there's then a link to the official music video of Africa's Toto. So, artist sets up an installation to play Toto's Africa on loop for all eternity. How do we turn this into a good story? 10 minutes on the clock, starting now.
I mean, it's a level of hell, right? You get stuck there.
And it's like a little, it's one of the deceptive levels of hell, because you get there and at first you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. Like, yeah, compared to fire and brimstone and lakes of sulfur. Yeah, no, I can roll with this.
Dante's iPod.
But you cannot roll with it.
I wonder if there's something in a different direction that what I really love about Africa was that it was written by the guys in Toto, and none of them like have ever been to Africa, or this was written as like a response to like the Heart of Darkness, like white people going into a place and not knowing what it was like, which is why it's just about Africa and have the general lyrics. And it also reminded me of Taylor Swift's Welcome to New York.
Oh, that's right.
And like how she's from the middle of Pennsylvania and then got like adopted by Nashville. And then all of a sudden she was like the ambassador for New York City last year. So I wonder if there's like a campaign that needs to be made by people who've never been to a place who then write songs about that place.
It has to be a place where no one who lives there would willingly stand up for that. So they need to bring in an outsider.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the Siberian Tourism Board puts up a really large amount of money for whoever can come up with the best anthem about Siberia. And so you have kind of like all of these artists coming up with songs, none of whom have any intention of ever being within 1,000 kilometers of Siberia.
But the winner is Toto's Africa.
That's amazing.
Just keep me Africa. I like that. I think there's a reality show embedded somewhere in there. I don't know if it's like Eurovision and it's like a game show, or it's a little bit more like American Idol, but it's like tundra tracks, snow tracks.
But the key is that they're not shooting it in the actual place. Like, they're selling it as though it were there, but it's actually just shot like somewhere in Canada. It's really nice.
It's shot in Hamilton, Ontario.
That's right.
There we go.
So alt take that we probably shouldn't do, but if anybody's inspired by this, take it as far as you will. Cut to distant future. Human civilization has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Alien spacecraft descends down to a desert where the only thing left is Africa. Uh-huh. Not the country, the song.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like alien civilization trying to make sense of humanity through an off-grid loop of Africa.
So it's an audio drama is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
More specifically, an audio drama probably written by the three of us.
Yeah. Like, that shit is still in development. We can't be public about that yet.
Damn it.
We have an embargo on that.
The deal hasn't closed yet, Zach.
Crap. I'm sorry, guys. I blew it.
Sorry, we can't hear Zach anymore. I think Audible's strike team has jumped into his basement.
Right.
Taking him out.
Sorry, Mr. Valenti can no longer finish the recording. He's been indisposed.
All right.
Oh, no.
So, two options on the board, whether it is kind of like the attempt to create an anthem to a place that none of the people that are trying to create it has ever been to, and probably the story of what happens after that anthem goes horribly, horribly viral, or the story of kind of aliens discovering this artifact of humanity as kind of its last testament, and probably, I would say, like, trying to recreate some version of humanity based on what they perceive as like the instruction manual that is Toto's Africa. Ooh. And what that would look like.
Ooh, can I take that first one in a different direction?
Absolutely.
What if a very popular earworm was actually about a very specific country, but then it got edited out and now it's a huge hit? Like, what if Call Me Baby was actually commissioned by like the Tourism Board of Luxembourg or something?
Uh-huh. Right.
And then kind of like at the last minute, the producer was just kind of like, we're just going to like do away with that last verse. It works better as a 3-minute jingle instead of kind of like the full 3 and a 40-second thing that we recorded in the studio.
Yeah, it's like, so here's my number. call me maybe and meet me in Luxembourg.
Right. Or like the number that she would give would lead you to the Luxembourg Tourism Board.
That's right.
Hey, I just met you and this is crazy, but let's visit Luxembourg and stay there for a long time and empower the economy.
Yep.
So have y'all ever heard of Estonia?
Yes.
Okay. So a while, like just within the last few years, they've been really pushing this like digital citizenship thing where like,
okay,
in the future, like you can just like log in and get your social security number and get like social services. It's sort of like the future of citizenship. And it just happens to be in Estonia because I don't know what else Estonia does, but no offense to Estonia. Just, you know, that is the reason why it's on my radar. So I'm just imagining that like Estonia would be the kind of place that would be like, you know what we need to go viral and get more signups for our digital citizenships? A banger.
Mm-hmm. I am sorry. I am the strike team from Estonia. Zek Valenti cannot finish the rest of this podcast.
Not again.
Hey, this is our kill. We had to do this on behalf of Bezos. I'm sorry. He just insulted Estonia.
I'm so flattered by this murderous competition.
This is how it breaks that Bezos is actually a sovereign entity. Is some of his people and some of Estonia's people go to war.
Right. Over the contested territory of shutting Zek Valenti up.
The Commonwealth of Amazon and Estonia.
But so for the Luxembourg Tourism Board, when this banger comes out and they are not a part of it, is the story about them like trying to find redress or trying to like educate people that know the song is really about this? Or is it about like the making of the song?
I think it might be the former, but this feels like one of those things that you find out that like a boy band was funded by like a shadow government or something.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And like, do people believe this? It's like, oh no. You know, the song that you love that sounds like this, there was actually a Luxembourg verse that was edited out of it. Like, would anybody believe that?
Probably not.
It might be like more of a Snopes thing. How like, uh-huh, Snopes is like looking into whether or not Carly Rae Jepsen was like funded by the Luxembourg Tourism Board. But like, does it ultimately matter to anyone other than Luxembourg? No.
And yeah, and then it would probably be like the story of whoever the Snopes investigator is, who's like multiple years of their life now is taken up with this Carly Rae Jepsen song and like the country, the politics of the country of Luxembourg, and like them having, you know, sort of wondering, is anything they're doing mattering? How did they get down this rabbit hole? How can they get out, kind of a thing?
Mm. See, yeah. I almost kind of want to tweak it, though, so that it's not that the stuff about Luxembourg was taken out of the song, but rather that it's a subliminal but incredibly effective kind of embed in the song. Like, you kind of listen to Call Me Maybe, you kind of like bop your head along, and then afterwards, like, your brain is kind of like, you know where I should take my next vacation? Luxembourg.
Yes.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of, somebody discovers this aspect of it and then just kind of has to find the way to prove it, even though there isn't anything in the song that explicitly, you know, sort of like speaks to its nature as a sleeper kind of subliminal messaging tool.
I like that, though, because it's not necessarily like detrimental. I remember there was a Simpsons episode where Bart was in a boy
band. Joined the Navy. Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. Joined the Navy. Ivanekniash. Right. And it was about joining the Navy, which is also very funny as like the thing that you're trying to get someone to do. But it's like, oh man, I should just like, hey, do you guys want to go to Luxembourg for like a week?
Right. Just kind of like hang out for a little bit.
And like, it's not.
It seems nice. They have chocolate there, right?
It's like, it's nice. Like, yeah. Well, I don't know why no one knows about it. It's just like, it's very low. This is going back to what Sarah was saying. It's like, no, does it matter? Like, no, it doesn't really matter.
Well, guys, unfortunately, that is time. But I do have one last thing to say, which is this episode of No Bad Ideas brought to you by the Tourism Board of Luxembourg. Everybody, please consider going there for your next vacation once we can all go outside again.
You know, it's not a bad idea. Visiting Luxembourg.
That's right. That's right. Well, that unfortunately is all the time that we have for bad ideas today. Eric, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for helping us to bring these bad ideas into good story form, and also for killing Zach a couple different times.
Oh, no problem. I love coming up with dumb ideas and recording them, and then it's not my problem because it's on someone else's show.
I'm not dead yet.
Well, tune back in on Thursday. We'll be back. We'll be talking to Eric about his amazing new show, Next Stop. In the meantime, you should all definitely check out the first two episodes. It's going to be amazing. We'll meet you back here on Thursday. Thank you all so much.
Mike Schubert's actually really great, I promise.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Rena Sarame and Jennifer Schneider. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.